Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Steele Talkin', and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. I've been here for 25 years, and I cannot tell you how much fun I've had over these 25 years. Have there been challenges? Absolutely. But we went through them together, and we made it to this point today. I am so excited for tonight because I so enjoy doing the show, and I thank you to all of you who were asking questions about where is Geraldine and where is Michael. I just so appreciate that. I talked to Michael today, and he says hello to everyone, but we are not doing the Mom and Michael Hour anymore because of his schedule, his new work schedule. So unfortunately, he will come on every now and then, but not just yet. All right, we're going to start out with all that is going on in the Twin Cities right now. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited about all the things that are coming back to the stage, back into the cities. Of course, the State Fair, we all hear about it, we talk about it, we know what to expect, even though they have new things all the time. But what about the Taste of Minnesota? We talked about this last Sunday. I got so excited when I found out that the Taste of Minnesota is happening in Minneapolis on Nicollet. Can you believe that? And I have to tell you, Jonathan, the Steels are performing on July 2nd. So we hope that people will really come out. There are some great artists, some national artists, local artists, and so many more. So there's just a lot happening. And by the way, the weather is so fabulous right now. Now, some of you will go, are you nuts? It is so hot outside. Yeah, but at the same time, the humidity can satiate, can re-satiate us. And that's why I love it. The humidity in the last week has been quite remarkable. And of course, Jonathan Lowe, who is a trained meteorologist, do you agree with me?
I would happen to agree, yes. It has not been stifling to the point where you walk outside and you feel it like a blast furnace on you, or you feel it like a sauna. So it has been pleasurable to be outside, to enjoy the weather. Even if it's been above 85, near 90 degrees, it hasn't been, again, that sort of
unbearable
stickiness that you feel when you walk outside and you're like, oh, the sweat is already forming as I walk outside, you know, 5 inches.
I can't believe you gave me that picture in my mind. That was pretty good, Jonathan, but true. I have to say that I have really enjoyed it. What my biggest concern is, especially for my mom and all of the elders in these communities, is that, you know, the humidity has been really high, but also, you know, the air quality has not been quality, right? I mean, we've been having some real challenges with that in this great state of Minnesota, but things come and go. It's like some days are bad and other days are not. And I'm just curious. And I don't know if you know how to answer this, Jonathan, but I would love to know if people that are not breathing well, or they're on medication, or they have to, you know, take things for their breathing. Like my mom is one of those, and I get so nervous about her sitting outside even. And some people say, oh, it's okay to stay outside for like half an hour. And that's not true. It can really adversely affect many of our seniors that are just not able to breathe well. And I don't know if everyone really understands that, but I sure hope they do.
Well, we've had some issues with basically what has been called, what is air quality. That's what it is assigned as if you're talking about the National Weather Service. There is an air quality of alert that is out through tonight and into tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. And basically, we've had a couple different things happening. It's been kind of dry. It's been the air has been kind of still. It hasn't really there hasn't been a lot of dynamic storms moving through over the last few weeks. And we've had some wildfires that, while not around here, have been burning in the region. Let's say they've been in Canada mostly.
And oh, Canada, real bad.
If you get in that pattern where the air is kind of feeding, the jet stream is kind of feeding the smoke from those type of events to your area, it's going to take a couple things to scour that out. It's going to take a big frontal system, and it's going to take the wildfire to be calmed down. And I don't know if both of those things have really been accomplished yet. And so just...
And you said a funnel system, right?
A frontal, yeah, a frontal system.
Oh, frontal system.
Yeah, not
Thank
funnel.
You.
No.
Thank you.
We don't need tornadoes.
No, we do not.
No, that's not
That's why I had apropos. To break in and just ask again. So.
Yes. So just for a personal story real quick, I went ahead and played golf on Memorial Day. I had the day off. It was a pleasant day, except there was an air quality alert out there, and I've been asthmatic my entire life. And I haven't needed to use – I've had inhalers for decades, and I've got my inhaler refilled last year, but I haven't needed it a whole lot. It's basically there as far as an emergency is concerned. And I knew that there was going to be an air quality event. I said, well, let me take my inhaler with me today while I'm out on the course. And I did not ride in a cart. I had a push cart. So I was
but you're grateful you did this, right?
Yeah. I was walking around the entire course. And I took a puff of the inhaler right before I started the round. I took a puff of the inhaler at the end of the round. And when I got back home, I was still kind of feeling it. So I took another puff of the inhaler when I got home. And so you could feel your lungs being affected by this kind of air mass that has not, again, had a chance.
Oh, yeah, they warn us about it all the time. I mean, we can't say that we didn't know, because there are alerts sometimes that go off about the air.
And
that's
on
my phone.
That's what we currently are in now, and that's what we had on Memorial Day.
Yeah. Yet this June has been a little better. I mean, the air quality has had its challenges, but it doesn't seem to stay as long. My mother can go outside for, you know, maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and it's better now. Whereas, you know, a couple weeks ago, yeah, that was really tough, and she would just come right on back inside, because it's just been some beautiful, very humid days. And they kept saying we're going to have rain and rain and rain. What, by the way, what is that with meteorologists? They tell us, okay, you can even look at your phone and it'll say, okay, thunderstorms in this area, thunderstorms in that area. Then all of a sudden, no thunderstorms, no rain, no nothing. What happens?
Okay, I gotta explain this again.
What happens? Okay. Yes, that's right.
Yes,
explain
I have
it
to
again, because it's
again.
Different today. It's different today than it was.
Kind,
it's different
people.
Today than it was 20 years ago.
That's right. I have to stand up for my people. That's right. The weather geeks all
oh,
around
you got
the world
some people?
Tonight.
You got some people.
Yes.
Okay.
So, again,
just want to be clear.
when you have a situation of what happens in the air around us, again, I will say this again: physics is the basis for meteorology. I call meteorology physics on steroids. Because what you have in physics is conditions can change. Conditions, let's just take a cube of ice. A cube of ice, the state of that being changed to liquid water, being changed to steam or gas. When you can have physical states of things change, that's going to change a lot more when you have the air around us, because that's all gas. It's all floating everywhere. It's not solid. It's not solidified. When those conditions change on the level that they do because of the heating of the sun and the amount of moisture in the air, and they change on not a daily level, not an
hourly
level.
Here's the thing for me. Here's
not
the thing
a minute level.
You
I'm talking
are a bona fide,
nanoseconds.
You are a bona fide geek. And I didn't realize that.
Modified.
I really
geek.
Didn't. I don't think I've
no,
ever.
No, no, no. I'm full blown. I'm full blown geek. I don't know
how
what you're
do
talking
you define
about.
Geek?
To be honest, I've said this before. My definition, I know it's different than the Webster's definition. I think everybody is a nerd, geek, or a dork at something.
Not me. Not most people.
The reason why I say this is because, in my opinion, when someone says you're a nerd, you're a dork, that means you have a passion for something and you have a knowledge of something. So if I look at someone and say, that person's really into cars. They're a car geek. You know, they can rattle off the transmission and the parts of the engine off of their head. That means they're a geek at it. That means they are really high level involved and dedicated to it.
You are a unique. That's who you are.
That's dang right.
Yeah.
There was no mold when they made me.
Okay, praise God.
They just kind of pieced me together with parts, kind of like Frankenstein.
Oh God, he's still talking. This is how I know you love it. I know that you love it. Yet you don't talk much about meteorology. A lot of times I'll pull you in and say, Jonathan, okay, you're a trained meteorologist, and I'll start asking questions. But just for you to just start talking about it is very unusual.
Well, it's a couple things. Number one, I have not stayed up with the quote-unquote training that you would need. I haven't been mm-hmm. in that arena in my headspace for years now. But the other thing is I'll talk about it, but I'm not going to just – my whole life isn't weather. I have other things.
No,
not many, but other things.
Okay, so I've learned a lot in these last 10 minutes. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're
I really
welcome.
Appreciate it.
You are
and
welcome.
And I know we're close. We're getting at that point where we have to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment, including me and Jonathan.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Steel Talk, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. The other voice that you hear is Jonathan Lowe, who is a trained meteorologist here, and every now and then we'll ask him to really look at the weather and what it really means, and that's been very helpful here at WCCO. Jonathan, I do want to talk about an interesting law that I read about today in the Pioneer Press. And it says Minnesota's new right to repair, quote unquote, right to repair, law is in the broadest one yet in the United States. It requires many manufacturers to share parts, info, and tinkerers. I didn't quite understand it at first, so I had to start reading it. Do-it-yourselfers and repair shops are celebrating a victory in Minnesota with the enactment of a new law that requires many manufacturers to share parts and information with tinkerers and small businesses. The so-called right to repair law will allow equipment owners and independent shops to more easily fix devices like phones, laptops, appliances, and other equipment. Minnesota is the latest state to approve such a law, following Colorado earlier this year and New York last year. And Massachusetts law covering vehicles was enacted in 2020. So do-it-yourselfers, farmers, handyman companies, and small repair shops argue that without such laws, big tech companies make it almost impossible to get manufacturers parts and instructions. I never, ever thought of this. I never heard of this law. called Right to Repair. And by the way, I am one of those people who love to repair things. I love to repair furniture. I love to fix little things that are going wrong. I love it. And I started that in Massachusetts. My daughter and her husband and my grandchildren were living there. And there were so many things for me to fix, so I just started fixing them. I had done this at home, but then I started doing it wherever I was. If something was broken, I would bring a few little things to help me be able to fix them. And I really do enjoy that.
So I guess I'm a little bit confused on what this helps the quote unquote tinkerers do. Are they not able to get parts from larger companies in effect to help them with their business without these laws?
Yeah, I guess that's been the problem. You know, that's what I was saying. Small repair shops argue that without such laws, big tech companies make it almost impossible to get manufacturers' parts and instructions. You know, and I remember there was a website where you can get instructions on just about everything, right? And those were the things I would do. And when I was in Boston, I would just look it up and go, oh, yeah, this is what it says I need, and that's what I'll go get. So it really surprised me when I started reading this. I thought, what? That's a little strange to me. Are you a fixer guy?
I'm not a fixer guy, but this is an interesting concept. And just, I guess it just kind of, I didn't think about that. Like you said, I didn't think about that. I figured that if you were a smaller company, mm-hmm. but you kind of went around and fixed, let's say, TV repair, and you fixed...
Right.
Sharp TVs and Zenith TVs and Samsung TVs and LG TVs and all these different things, I figured all you'd have to do is, you know, make a call out and say, hey, I need these parts, or I need a stockpile of these, and then they would get them sent over, get them shipped out. So I was unaware that it was so difficult for smaller places to get these kind of tools.
And it's not just us. I mean, it's starting to really spread across, you know, the United States. It says here that as the bills make their way through the states, tech firms have successfully lobbied to exempt some types of equipment or allow other exceptions, such as allowing manufacturers to provide only full assemblies of parts rather than individual parts, such as a chip, for what the manufacturers say is safety or security reasons. This is really shocking to me. I didn't know that this was happening at all. So to read this story, obviously they've been working on this new right to repair law because they know it's in those that are working with it. They know that it's important to have it, but I am surprised by it. And lawmakers removed from farm equipment, video game consoles, specialized cybersecurity tools, medical devices, and vehicles from the bill before it was approved. I mean, they removed all of that. The lawmakers did.
Now,
and I'm sitting there going, well, but why? Why are all these things even talking about it when it's called the right to repair? I don't get it.
So I can understand, you know, video game consoles, fine. You know, it's an inconvenience.
Right.
But medical devices. Now,
I know.
The only thing I can think of with medical devices is, do you need any sort of special certification to make sure that these are properly working once they're completed, once they're fixed? Because of the ramifications of what it will do to human life or animal life, maybe you need some sort of special certification in that case. But I would think if you are certified to fix that type of equipment, the medical type of equipment, that would be something that would be top of mind priority. Because, again, you're dealing with human life and other, you know, human health. So I would think those would need to be set up, done, completed as quickly as possible if they're broken.
Yeah, I just didn't realize that we had, you know, independent people really working hard to be able to do exactly what this law is saying they should be able to do. But at the same time, it's got some challenges in it. And of course, Democratic Governor Tim Walz last week, as part of the state budget, requires manufacturers of electronic devices such as phones, tablets, laptops, and household appliances to provide parts, tools, and instructions on how to fix equipment. This used to be an easy thing. You could just go into certain shops like Axel. You ever been to Axel?
axles. I've been inside a couple times, yes.
Oh, man, you can find just about everything. You can find instructions, booklets that you need. And if you have an old car, there's all kind of stuff that you could find in that place. I loved going there. And so I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it seems like this is way more than what the people who deal with trinkets and that sort of thing. I think this is way more than what they were expecting. But the tinkerers have definitely had their say. And I think they're winning. So there you go.
And everybody talks about the death or the fading away of mom and pop shops, and everything goes more big box, or they go more big onerous company. And I guess in the case of, okay, if I can make myself, let me say it this way. There's always been an affinity, a love of the self-made person. You know, I can go out and I can wrestle a bear to its knees, or that's exaggeration, but I can go out and fix my car. I can go out and fix any appliance in my home. I can renovate my home. I can go camping and get all my food and fish for myself and hunt for myself and all that. And doesn't this take away from that chip away from the country's love of the self-made person? It seems sort of contradictory.
Yeah, it does. Great point. Great point. I know we have to take a break and then do some weather and that sort of thing. So we're going to take that break and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back. You are listening to Steele Talkin', and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. It is what I love to do is be here with you on a Sunday night. So thank you for sticking and staying with us. The other voice that you hear is Jonathan Lowe. And our next guest is executive director of an organization called Minnesota Post. It is an acronym that stands for Peace Officer Standards and Training. And he is joining us to discuss the new changes that allow the board to revoke licenses of police officers statewide for any violations of its conduct policies, regardless of whether an officer is charged with, convicted of a crime or not. His name is Eric Mitzelt, and again, he is executive director of Minnesota Post. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I tell you, this weather has been amazing, and yet I always find information, a new way of looking at standards in the United States. And of course, today we're talking about the new rules that give Post Board authority to revoke peace officer licenses prior to convictions. Tell us about the Post Board. Who are they, and why do they exist?
So the Post Board is the regulatory and licensing agency for the state of Minnesota for all police officers across the state, whether they be local, county, or state officers. Some states are certification states, and Minnesota is a licensing state. So in essence, we serve the function of making sure that there are certain standards of conduct maintained, minimum selection standards for licensure, training standards, and so on, much like lawyers, doctors, nurses, and so on.
Hmm. Are there a group of people that you may be considering to join and be a part of the Post Board? It's interesting who gets licenses and who doesn't.
So the best way to explain it is police officers across the country, you have certain authorities. You are considered sworn officers. So you have the power of arrest, the power to use deadly force, and so on. So that is the best definition. And peace officers in Minnesota are fall under that moniker, and they are licensed by the state. In some states, they also issue licenses to or certifications to corrections officers and so on. Minnesota is not does not do that. We are exclusively, or should say, we have exclusive jurisdiction over sworn officers that, as I mentioned, have the powers of arrest and use deadly force and so on.
That is that's powerful. These police officers have a lot of power. We know about that. But it seems as though many of us don't quite understand how the officers get this opportunity for the licenses, get the opportunity to do what they are asked to do. Yet sometimes they seem to wander off and they do more than they should do. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would say that as with any profession, I don't care what it is, and police officers are human beings that come from broader society, just like any other profession. There's a need for regulation and adhering to certain standards, and certainly the police service, whether it's in Minnesota or elsewhere, is not immune to that. And so that is the reason you have regulatory and training agencies such as ours.
There are so many different boards that deal with licensing in the great state of Minnesota and throughout the throughout our country. And a lot of us don't know or even understand why it's necessary to have all of these licenses. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I would say broadly, I mean, the point of a licensing agency or regulatory agency is, in fact, to make sure that the public who uses the services of these licensees, whether they're police officers or nurses or doctors, have an expectation that the people who hold those licenses are trained to a certain level, are held to certain professional standards, best practices, what have you. And so there has to be some entity that does that, no different than there's an EPA to regulate, pollution and air quality and all that sort of thing. So really that's the function of our board, is to meet the expectations of the public and make sure that the public knows that when they deal with, in our case, a police officer, that they've been trained to a certain level, they have met certain expectations for their, again, pre-service education, in-service education, and so on.
Yes, and so on. I think for me, as an African-American woman, there was a time that I was afraid of police officers, and those days are long gone. Yet I keep hearing about the bad things, but then we also hear about a few of the good things. And I know the standards have changed recently, and I'm curious to know if it took a long time to change some of these standards, the set of conduct standards.
Yes, the rulemaking process does take a long time. And in our case, we're in the process of, and we were planning on doing rule changes because the rules that govern the post board and govern the post board's authority had not changed in, quite honestly, many decades. And that's not necessarily a negative statement, other than expectations changed over the years. Those rules met the expectations of the public and others at the time they were in place, but over time those expectations changed and the rules did not. So we were already looking at making those changes, and in fact we will be continuing to make engage in rulemaking going forward in areas other than the standards of conduct and background investigations and minimum selection standards, which is what we just tackled this last two-plus years.
Well, I tell you, it's exciting to know that the changes are happening, have happened, and that people are starting to understand, like myself. I'm learning now how this really works. When it comes to changes, it's difficult a lot of times for different communities, especially in the Black community, and I'm really hoping that we will see a big difference as well, and that it will be best for all Minnesotans and beyond. So this is exciting. If there was anything you would want listeners to really understand today, what would that be, or have we addressed them all?
I think I would say that the effect of the pandemic and obviously the George Floyd incident was a you know, it really led to a sea change, I think. But I would say that I would want people to know that, as with any profession, as a general rule, you know, the 98% of police officers are out there doing a great job. They're doing it ethically, morally. They're following the standards. They're getting their training and doing what needs to be done. And I would say that of any profession. And the really the point of regulatory agencies and agencies that hold people accountable, such as the Post Board, is to deal with a very small percentage. And it's just a dynamic of you know, human existence, I think, that we focus on the negative. But I guess at the end of the day, what I'd like to reassure people is that your officers here in Minnesota are well-trained, they're ethical, and you can expect them to be professional when you deal with them. And for those few that aren't, there are processes and procedures in place to address that, and that's what we do.
Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you so much, sir.
Most welcome.
All right, you take care.
All right.
That was our guest, Eric Misselt. And if you don't know who he is, he's the executive director of the Minnesota Board of Peace Officer Standards and Training, which is an acronym of POST, P-O-S-T. I didn't know anything about that at all, Jonathan. It's been a long time since I've talked about anything even close to this. Of course, Chauvin was talked about in this article, but oh my gosh. I had no idea there was that much power, so appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Such a pleasure to have you join us every Sunday night, or just one Sunday night. We just are so thankful for it. Hey, Jonathan, I wanted to say when you had a chance to talk with Eric Misselt, the executive director of Minnesota Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, I'm curious to know what you gleaned from your conversation with him, because when he was talking to me, I heard things that I had never heard of before. I didn't know anything about the Peace Officer Standards and Training, and it's been around for a while.
It has, and I too had not heard about this particular board. I figured with police unions out there, I know that there has been a call over the last few years to have more citizens involved in the standards that police should have as far as training to get on the job, and then whether these officers should have, these law enforcement officers should have their licensure, their chance to work in those departments taken.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talkin', and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do, is be here with you on a Sunday night. So thank you for sticking and staying with us. The other voice that you hear is Jonathan Lowe. And our next guest is executive director of an organization called Minnesota POST. It is an acronym that stands for Peace Officer Standards and Training. And he is joining us to discuss the new changes that allow the board to revoke licenses of police officers statewide for any violations of its conduct policies, regardless of whether an officer is charged with, convicted of a crime or not. His name is Eric Misselt, and again, he is executive director of Minnesota POST. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I tell you, this weather has been amazing, and yet I always find information, a new way of looking at standards in the United States. And of course, today we're talking about the new rules that give post board authority to revoke peace officer licenses prior to convictions. Tell us about the post board. Who are they and why do they exist?
So the Post Board is the regulatory and licensing agency for the state of Minnesota for all police officers across the state, whether they be local, county, or state officers. Some states are certification states, and Minnesota is a licensing state. So in essence, we serve the function of making sure that there are certain standards of conduct maintained, minimum selection standards for licensure, training standards, and so on, much like lawyers, doctors, nurses, and so on.
Hmm. Are there a group of people that you may be considering to join and be a part of the post board? It's interesting who gets licenses and who doesn't.
So the best way to explain it is police officers across the country, you have certain authorities. You are considered sworn officers. So you have the power of arrest, the power to use deadly force, and so on. So that is the best definition. And peace officers in Minnesota are fall under that moniker, and they are licensed by the state. In some states, they also issue licenses to or certifications to corrections officers and so on. Minnesota is not does not do that. We are exclusively, or should say, we have exclusive jurisdiction over sworn officers that, as I mentioned, have the powers of arrest and use deadly force and so on.
That's powerful. These police officers have a lot of power. We know about that. But it seems as though many of us don't quite understand how the officers get this opportunity for the licenses, get the opportunity to do what they are asked to do. Yet sometimes they seem to wander off and they do more than they should do. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would say that as with any profession, I don't care what it is, and police officers are human beings that come from broader society, just like any other profession. There's a need for regulation and adhering to certain standards, and certainly the police service, whether it's in Minnesota or elsewhere, is not immune to that. And so that is the reason you have regulatory and training agencies such as ours.
There are so many different boards that deal with licensing in the great state of Minnesota and throughout our country. And a lot of us don't know or even understand why it's necessary to have all of these licenses. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I would say broadly, the point of a licensing agency or regulatory agency is, in fact, to make sure that the public who uses the services of these licensees, whether they're police officers or nurses or doctors, have an expectation that the people who hold those licenses are trained to a certain level, are held to certain professional standards, best practices, what have you. And so there has to be some entity that does that, no different than there's an EPA to regulate, pollution and air quality and all that sort of thing. So really, that's the function of our board, is to meet the expectations of the public and make sure that the public knows that when they deal with, in our case, a police officer, that they've been trained to a certain level, they have met certain expectations for their, again, pre-service education, in-service education, and so on.
Yes, and so on. I think for me, as an African-American woman, there was a time that I was afraid of police officers, and those days are long gone. Yet I keep hearing about the bad things, but then we also hear about a few of the good things. And I know the standards have changed recently, and I'm curious to know if it took a long time to change some of these standards, the set of conduct standards.
Yes, you know, the rulemaking process does take a long time. And in our case, we're in the process of, and we were planning on doing rule changes because the rules that govern the post board and govern the post board's authority had not changed in, quite honestly, many decades. And that's not necessarily a negative statement, other than, expectations changed over the years. Those rules met the expectations of the public and others at the time they were in place. But over time, those expectations changed and the rules did not. So we were already looking at making those changes. And in fact, we will be continuing to engage in rulemaking going forward in areas other than the standards of conduct and background investigations and minimum selection standards, which is what we just tackled this last two-plus years.
Well, I tell you, it's exciting to know that the changes are happening, have happened, and that people are starting to understand, like myself. I'm learning now how this really works. When it comes to changes, it's difficult a lot of times for different communities, especially in the Black community. And I'm really hoping that we will see a big difference as well, and that it will be best for all Minnesotans and beyond. So this is exciting. If there was anything you would want listeners to really understand today, what would that be, or have we addressed them all?
I think I would say that the effect of the pandemic and obviously the George Floyd incident was it really led to a sea change, I think. But I would say that I would want people to know that, as with any profession, as a general rule, 98% of police officers are out there doing a great job. They're doing it ethically, morally. They're following the standards. They're getting their training and doing what needs to be done. And I would say that of any profession. And the point of regulatory agencies and agencies that hold people accountable, such as the Post Board, is to deal with a very small percentage. And it's just a dynamic of human existence, I think, that we focus on the negative. But I guess at the end of the day, what I'd like to reassure people is that your officers here in Minnesota are well-trained, they're ethical, and you can expect them to be professional when you deal with them. And for those few that aren't, there are processes and procedures in place to address that, and that's what we do.
Well, I sure appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you so much, sir.
Most welcome.
All right, you take care.
All right.
That was our guest, Eric Misselt. And if you don't know who he is, he's the executive director of the Minnesota Board of Peace Officer Standards and Training, which is an acronym of POST, P-O-S-T. I didn't know anything about that at all, Jonathan. It's been a long time since I've talked about anything even close to this. Of course, Chauvin was talked about in this article, but oh my gosh. I had no idea there was that much power, so appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Such a pleasure to have you join us every Sunday night, or just one Sunday night. We just are so thankful for it. Hey, Jonathan, I wanted to say when you had a chance to talk with Eric Misselt, the executive director of Minnesota Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, I'm curious to know what you gleaned from your conversation with him, because when he was talking to me, I heard things that I had never heard of before. I didn't know anything about the Peace Officer Standards and Training, and it's been around for a while.
It has, and I too had not heard about this particular board. I figured with police unions out there, I know that there has been a call over the last few years to have more citizens involved in the standards that police should have as far as training to get on the job, and then whether these officers should have, these law enforcement officers should have their licensure, their chance to work in those departments taken away if they do acts that are against what the badge should hold up for, should stand for. And so I was kind of aware that stuff was out there, but I didn't know about this particular group. And the fact that it took this long to get this type of legislation through to the Capitol, through passed by the Capitol, signed into law by the governor, and the fact that they worked on this before, prior to the incident with what they call an incident, the murder of George Floyd. He was convicted of murder. Derek Chauvin was convicted of murder. It is a murder. So the fact that they started working on trying to update those standards months before Memorial Day of 2020, that was something I wasn't aware of. And I was happily aware. The information with that made me a little bit more satisfied because they understood that something needed to be done. Something needed to be changed, upgraded, updated, and they were starting the process of that before Memorial Day of 2020.
Right. Police officers, though, we know that they have standards and training. But I didn't know peace officers' standards and trainings were actually a thing, that this was happening. And I would love to know how that, when did that begin? How long has it been that they've been working on the peace officer standards and training?
Well, basically police, law enforcement, state trooper, they're all, I think peace officers is more the general overall category that you put police officers, law enforcement, you know, U.S. Marshals and all these different agencies, FBI. You'd put all those different agencies under that particular term because that is what their goal is. They're trying to keep the peace.
Yeah, but most, come on, a lot of people don't feel that way. I mean, when I look
I would rather say police officer
standards and training instead of peace officer standards and training. But I've got to read a lot more. I've got to learn a lot more about this because I did not know about it. And so that's my job, is to make sure that I am not ignorant about this, that I really understand it and go way back, you know, go back and look at how the changes have been with this Minnesota Post. So it's interesting.
So peace officer, by definition, through the Oxford Dictionary, a civil officer appointed to preserve law and order, such as a sheriff or police officer. So you can tell right there, sheriff's office, state troopers, citywide police officers, they are kind of put under this umbrella term of peace officer.
Yeah, and I don't quite understand how that happens. So I'm going to do my reading. You know, I'm going to get out there and find out as much information as I can. But I was excited to see the word peace in this, but it's different. So I'll figure it out for sure. And I hope you will, too. Maybe you've already done that, Jonathan, but I will figure it out. Hey, I want to mention, by the way, that I have two amazing producers. You've been hearing the voice of Jonathan Lowe. He's been with me for a long time, and he does the 7 and 8 o'clock hour on Sunday nights, bringing in pitches and talking to different people. And then there is Chris Tubbs, who takes care of the 9 o'clock hour, which goes from 9 to 10. And that is the hour all about entertainment, arts and entertainment. So thank you to my producers for doing such a great job. Also want to let you know that the Twins baseball returns Tuesday as they travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Rays. Pre-game is 5 p.m. with a 5:40 p.m. first pitch right here on WCCO. You don't want to miss it. Now, coming up next, I am excited to have Professor David Schultz join us. You know him. We love him here at WCCO Radio. He is a political science professor at Hamline University, and we have got a lot to talk about, specifically the debt ceiling and how it all came to be since 1917. And we can go on and on with the changes of it. But, Jonathan, I just learned that there are only two countries in the United States that do this whole debt ceiling thing.
You mean on the planet?
Oh, is it on the planet?
Yeah, not the United States.
Oh, right, because it's Denmark and the United States.
I didn't know that either until yesterday or a couple of days ago. I did not know that either. And someone said that, and I said, wait a minute. We're the only two countries that go through this mess?
Right. I was really surprised at that. And why? Why is it even necessary to do? I have so many questions for Professor David Schultz, and that is going to come up at 8:10, so do stay tuned for that. We do not want you to go away. Also, I want to let you know that Center Stage is full of amazing, amazing artists, as well as comedians. We're going to talk about comedians as well in the 9 o'clock hour. You do not want to miss it. It's so much fun. I've been reading so much about it, and there's a lot going on. That's what I love about the Twin Cities. It's just you gotta keep up. There's so much going on here. You gotta keep up. And I'm grateful for that. All right, everyone, we're gonna come back in just a moment, but I wanna let you also know that if you ever want to join us here on Sunday nights, you can do that by texting us at 612-414-9226. Do I have that correct, Jonathan?
Say that
612-414-9226.
No.
Okay, no, I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. That was Ooh. Awful.
Okay. You're
it's
terrible.
651.
Oh, 651.
461.
461.
9226. That is the number. And
you just put me out there on blast, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
You're supposed to be my protector
we're trying to get the information to the people.
It's so terrible.
So wait.
Let me do it twice.
Before we go on, there are a couple of texts that have come in. There's one that looks like that's talking about the interview you just did with Mr. Misselt. As a professional in an industry, not peace officer, the post has been the fox guarding the hen house until such time they get union representatives off of post. So I'm curious as to which way is the post board more helping more helping police officers, or are they more helping
the people?
The people trying to make sure that the police officers get that accountability that people have been clamoring for, especially the last, 7-8 years.
Well, here's the challenge for me. If every Minnesotan had a booklet that had all of the things we absolutely need to know, this would be one of them in that book. I've never heard as of the Minnesota Post. Peace officer standards and training. Have you?
Not until this week.
There you go. This is something that is so important to the residents of the great state of Minnesota. We should all know about it. Period. Enough said. All right, everyone, we're going to come back. And again, the guest will be David Schultz joining us, political science professor at Hamline University. You don't want to miss it. We're talking debt ceiling, darling. So many questions, so little time. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Such a pleasure to have you join us every Sunday night, or just one Sunday night. We just are so thankful for it. Hey, Jonathan, I wanted to say when you had a chance to talk with Eric Misselt, the executive director of Minnesota Peace Officer Standards and Training Board, I'm curious to know what you gleaned from your conversation with him, because when he was talking to me, I heard things that I had never heard of before. I didn't know anything about the Peace Officer Standards and Training, and it's been around for a while.
It has, and I too had not heard about this particular board. I figured with police unions out there, I know that there has been a call over the last few years to have more citizens involved in the standards that police should have as far as training to get on the job, and then whether these officers should have, these law enforcement officers should have their licensure, their chance to work in those departments taken away if they do acts that are against what the badge should hold up for, should stand for. And so I was kind of aware that stuff was out there, but I didn't know about this particular group. And the fact that it took this long to get this type of legislation through to the Capitol, passed by the Capitol, signed into law by the governor, and the fact that they worked on this before, prior to the incident with what they call an incident, the murder of George Floyd. He was convicted of murder. Derek Chauvin was convicted of murder. It is a murder. So the fact that they started working on trying to update those standards months before Memorial Day of 2020, that was something I wasn't aware of. And I was happily aware. The information with that made me a little bit more satisfied because they understood that something needed to be done. Something needed to be changed, upgraded, updated, and they were at least starting the process of that before Memorial Day of 2020.
Right. Police officers, though, we know that they have standards and training. But I didn't know peace officers' standards and trainings were actually a thing, that this was happening. And I would love to know when did that begin? How long has it been that they've been working on the peace officers' standards and training?
Well, basically police, law enforcement, state troopers, I think peace officers is more the general overall category that you put police officers, law enforcement, you know, U.S. Marshals and all these different agencies, FBI. You'd put all those different agencies under that particular term because that is what their goal is. They're trying to keep the peace.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't feel that way. I mean, when I look police officer standards and training instead of peace officer standards and training. But I've got to read a lot more. I've got to learn a lot more about this because I did not know about it. And so that's my job, is to make sure that I am not ignorant about this, that I really understand it and go way back, you know, go back and look at how the changes have been with this Minnesota Post. So it's interesting.
So peace officer by definition, through the Oxford Dictionary, a civil officer appointed to preserve law and order, such as a sheriff or police officer. So you can tell right there, sheriff's office, state troopers, citywide police officers, they are kind of put under this umbrella term of peace officer.
Yeah, and I don't quite understand how that happens. So I'm going to do my reading. You know, I'm going to get out there and find out as much information as I can. But I was excited to see the word peace in this, but it's different. So I'll figure it out for sure. And I hope you will, too. Maybe you've already done that, Jonathan, but I will figure it out. Hey, I want to mention, by the way, that I have two amazing producers. You've been hearing the voice of Jonathan Lowe. He's been with me for a long time, and he does the 7 and 8 o'clock hour on Sunday nights, bringing in pitches and talking to different people. And then there is Chris Tubbs, who takes care of the 9 o'clock hour, which goes from 9 to 10. And that is the hour all about entertainment, arts and entertainment. So thank you to my producers for doing such a great job. Also want to let you know that the Twins baseball returns Tuesday as they travel to Tampa Bay to take on the Rays. Pre-game is 5 p.m. with a 5:40 p.m. first pitch right here on WCCO. You don't want to miss it. Now, coming up next, I am excited to have Professor David Schultz join us. You know him. We love him here at WCCO Radio. He is a political science professor at Hamline University, and we have got a lot to talk about, specifically the debt ceiling and how it all came to be since 1917. And we can go on and on with the changes of it. But, Jonathan, I just learned that there are only two countries in the United States that do this whole debt ceiling thing.
You mean on the planet?
Oh, is it on the planet?
Yeah, not the United
States. Oh, right, because it's Denmark and the United States.
I didn't know that either until yesterday or a couple of days ago. I did not know that either. And someone said that, and I said, wait a minute. We're the only two countries that go through this mess?
Right. I was really surprised at that. And why? Why is it even necessary to do? I have so many questions for Professor David Schultz, and that is going to come up at 8:10, so do stay tuned for that. We do not want you to go away. Also, I want to let you know that Center Stage is full of amazing, amazing artists, as well as comedians. We're going to talk about comedians as well in the 9 o'clock hour. You do not want to miss it. It's so much fun. I've been reading so much about it, and there's a lot going on. That's what I love about the Twin Cities. It's just you gotta keep up. There's so much going on here. You gotta keep up. And I'm grateful for that. All right, everyone, we're gonna come back in just a moment, but I wanna let you also know that if you ever want to join us here on Sunday nights, you can do that by texting us at 612-414-9226. Do I have that correct, Jonathan?
Say that
612-414-9226.
No.
Okay,
no,
I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. That was off.
Okay. You're
it's
terrible.
651.
Oh, 651.
461.
461-9226.
That is the number. And
you just put me out there on blast, didn't you?
I'm sorry.
You're supposed to be my protector
we're trying to get the information to the people.
So terrible.
So wait,
let me do it twice.
Before we go on, there are a couple of texts that have come in. There's one looks like that's talking about the interview you just did with Mr. Misselt. As a professor, as a professional in an industry, not peace officer, the post has been the fox guarding the hen house until such time they get union representatives off of post. So I'm curious as to which way is the post board more helping more helping police officers, or are they more helping
the people
trying to make sure that the police officers get that accountability that people have been clamoring for, especially the last, 7-8 years.
Well, here's the challenge for me. If every Minnesotan had a booklet that had all of the things we absolutely need to know, this would be one of them in that book. I've never heard as of the Minnesota Post. Peace officer standards and training. Have you?
Not until this week.
There you go. This is something that is so important to the residents of the great state of Minnesota. We should all know about it. Period. Enough said. All right, everyone, we're going to come back. And again, the guest will be David Schultz joining us, political science professor at Hamline University. You don't want to miss it. We're talking debt ceiling, darling. So many questions, so little time. We'll be back in a moment.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.